about win it, born to win, how do we win in life? And I told our leaders that we are actually going to be talking about dating today, but don't worry, it's not going to get awkward. We're going to talk about anything weird, right? But I did ask the leaders if they would be willing to share, a couple of them, to share about the worst date they have ever been on, when they had a bad date. So do I have any leaders that are interested in sharing?
Why don't you share?
No, I don't have a good one. Okay, you can share first. No, no, just stay right there.
So I was in the ninth grade, which I'm stunned still I had a date in the ninth grade, and still whatever. But anyway, I had this really cute girl that I had a date with, but you can't drive when you're that young. So my dad took us, dropped us off at the ball game, had a great time. I think I might have held her hand once, but really bold. And then so my dad takes us out for ice cream. Sitting across the table, and you even imagine. My dad was one of those. He just had this big grin on his face. I don't even think I called her out for that. You know, like, why would you want to go out with me? It was like the most uncomfortable I've ever felt.
All right, awesome. Nate, thanks for sharing. Anybody else got one?
Pam,
I know
Pam,
you got one.
Pam.
So, ninth grade, I was kind of involved in school, so people had this perception that, like, I was comfortable with social, because I was cheerleader, stuff like that, but in fact, I was terrified. So the first guy asked me to go out with him. We call it going together. So he asked me to go with him, and I was like, okay, cool. So Friday comes along, and we would all go to the movie, and we would sit with our, up in the balcony, and you would sit with your guy. Well, I was terrified. Like, you don't even know. Nobody here could be that scared. I was terrified of kissing. I had no idea what a French kiss was. Like, what was that? And I was kind of a control freak, so I was like, I need to know what that is before I can do it. I was scared, and then I was scared I couldn't say no, and I knew you were supposed to say no to certain things, and I was like, I'm a people pleaser. I'm about saying yes. So I told him I had to go out of town. So that was fine. The next weekend, we were going to the movie, and I broke up a little because I said, you know, I'm just not sure about this. Just because I couldn't bear to go to the movie with him. So then Monday I said, I want to get back with you. I was like, okay, fine, all right. So then Friday came, and I broke up. So finally, needless to say, we never made it to the movie, and he permanently broke up. So, and he was like, I don't know what game you're playing here, but it doesn't work for me. So that was the beginning of my successful dating history.
All right, any other leaders?
When my mom was either early college or late high school, she and this guy went out, and the drinking age in Canada was younger, and so they went, he got like totally wasted, she was completely sober, and then she had to drive his car home, drop him off, and she didn't have a ride home, so she had to take his car and drive herself home, and then that was it.
No good. No good. Any other terrible dating? Yes.
Blind date that my cousin set me up on, and this guy that was her husband's best friend, and he picks me up. I'm looking out the window, and already she said he's really handsome. I look out the window, and I just said, oh my gosh, he's so ugly. Probably my roommate, because again, she was mean since it was a blind date. She wouldn't do it. So I get in the car with this guy, and we go to the movie theater. And he's a police officer. That's the irony. And when we get to the theater, he opens his center console to pull the gun out from there and put it under the seat. And for me, it's just like, you're just doing that so I know you have a gun, and I'm so over you, and you're so ugly, and you're not cool because you're a cop or you carry a gun. So we see the movie, we leave, and he's like, do you want to go have dinner? Do you want to have drinks? I'm like, no, I'm ready to go home. So we get home, my roommate says that the car didn't even stop and I was jumping out of the car. Call my cousin, tell her he was horrible, he was ugly, he was talking, he was this. Here we are all these years later, my cousin's divorced and remarried to that man.
Dates with
with a guy.
Oh, a car date.
A car date. That's different than, you know, a walking date. Because where I went, we lived in a little rural area. Oh, okay. You could walk places, or a suburb. You could walk places. So we went on my first car date, and we went to McDonald's for our dinner, and we came out, and the car didn't start. So, it was a poor kid, and those weren't the days of cell phones where you could just text somebody. So we had to go back into McDonald's, and we had to go on and the kid had to get his dad there to basically the battery had died. So yeah, that was, we never went out.
So you went on a car date, which was a big deal, to drive somewhere, and you drove to McDonald's?
That's what it was.
All right, that's good. All right.
Wait, Beth.
So in our life, in our worlds, we all want to win, right? We want to win at life. It's really, really important. And winning at dating is something that's also important. So I want to take a quick poll. Who feels like they got this area of their life nailed? They are winning in terms of their relationships. Excellent. Good. Okay, so this is totally, except for a few of you, this is worth talking about, all right? So I have a question for you, and we're just going to brainstorm about it a little bit. Why do we feel like we are failing in terms of dating, or losing in terms of dating? Anybody want to take a stab at why people may feel like they are losing and not winning in terms of dating?
Because they're not.
Because they're not? Okay, great. Yeah.
Oh, I was just stretching.
Oh, you're stretching? Great.
The guy is just sends out the wrong vibes.
Okay, so maybe there's some wrong vibe sending that's going on, and so makes us feel like we're losing. Yeah.
Peer pressure.
Great. So there's a lot of stress and pressure of like, how's this supposed to look? I just watched the movie The Notebook, and my relationship doesn't look like that relationship. Okay, what else? Why might we feel like we're losing?
Lack of confidence.
We don't even know what we're doing. We're like, I don't even know. And also, along with that, we don't even know what winning looks like. What does it even mean to win? Because some people say it looks like this, and other people say it looks like that. Any other reasons why we feel like we may be losing? Anyone else have an idea? There's no right answer. They're all really good answers. Are you good? For all of those reasons, we feel like we may be losing when it comes to dating, right? And what I want to tell you is that there is truth in the Word of God. There's truth in Scripture that tells us how to win in terms of all sorts of different things. It also tells us how to win in terms of dating. And we're just going to look at one of those principles, one of those really small things of how we win in terms of dating, and it's actually in the book of Proverbs. If you have a Bible, open it. There are some in the back. You can grab one. You can take out your phone app. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And if you don't know where Proverbs is, if you open the middle of your Bible and then head that way a little bit further, you can get to Proverbs. After Psalms comes Proverbs. All right, so you're there. All right, verse 23. Stick your finger in that verse real quick. And here's what we're going to do. Who can read Proverbs 4:23 for me? Proverbs. Open to the middle. You'll see Psalms. Go to the next book, and there's Proverbs.
Got it.
Okay, great. Real loud.
Okay.
Real loud.
Okay. Keep your heart with all strings, winds, or now from let it flow from the springs of life.
That is the right verse. And you're reading from King James. Does anybody have not King James?
Yeah.
A different version.
Sorry, this didn't let me change.
That's totally fine. Mike, you want to go?
Above all else, guard your heart for everything you do.
Great. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life, or for all else flows from it. All right? That's the idea. Now, this guy named Solomon, who's a super wise dude, probably was writing this book to his son, right? Some scholars say, yeah, he's writing to his son. And so they're checking it out, and he's writing to his son. He's like, I want to set you up for the win in terms of dating. So he writes this gem right at chapter 4. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Now, when he says guard your heart, he's not totally talking about our physical heart, although that's important, right? We like don't pierce me with an arrow because then I'll die, right? So it's not just talking about your physical heart, it's talking about another heart too. And to capture that idea, I have some phrases with some blanks. Can anybody figure out what any of these phrases are? They all have to do with dating sort of things. Yeah, what's one of them?
Oh,
great. Broken. heart. Yep, any others? No, you, not you. You were here last hour. Anybody else can figure out? Yeah, Kyle. No, we got broken heart, so this is gonna be a different one. It's kind of like broken, like when your heart breaks, it aches. Great. Heart ache. This one. Sweet. Sweetheart. This is like a Disney movie phrase. Yes, thank you. Follow your heart. And this one.
Is, that's what I asked.
Oh, wait, I'm
just
kidding.
Heart
on the...
Heart on your sleeve.
Heart on your sleeve. Good, okay, great. So we've got all these different phrases. And none of these phrases are talking about your physical heart. And nor is the passage in Proverbs. Instead, when Solomon says to guard your heart, he's not talking about your physical heart. He's talking about the heart that is your inner being. He's talking about the part of your heart that makes all of the decisions. He's talking about the part of your heart where all your emotions come from. He's talking about all the part of your heart where you make decisions about different things. He's talking about the part of your heart that is going to dictate who you are right now and who you are going to become. He's talking about that part. He's saying, guard that heart. Now, think about this in comparison. What are typically some things that we guard? You're going to post a soldier outside something. What is it that that soldier could be guarding, Matthew?
Money.
Cha-ching! Yeah.
Yourself.
Yes! Like your physical being. Absolutely. What are some other things?
Other people.
Other people. Family or friends. Anything else we guard? Yeah?
Prisoners.
Prisoners. Doesn't totally fit. That's where the analogy breaks down, but that's excellent, Carly. Anything else? You got another one, Matthew? Your house, right? Money, your house, the people you love the most, even prisoners, those are all things we guard. And what Solomon is saying is above money, above your house, above your physical being, above the ones that you love more than anything, guard your heart. Guard the place that is the place where all of your emotions come from. Guard where all of your decisions are coming from. Don't let any of those things change that. Don't let, you just gotta guard it. You gotta protect it because everything gets its start from your heart. Everything gets its start from your heart. Now think about this for a second. Chances are you or a friend of yours has started dating somebody, okay? And they're dating this person and everything starts to change. Perhaps you used to hang out with them all the time. And now what has happened? You don't ever see them anymore, right? They start spending all your time with somebody else, or all their time with somebody else. Name some other things that may be affected in their life when they start, or when you start dating somebody else.
That's all they can talk about.
That's all that they talk about. That's all they think about. That's all they talk about. Yeah? How they treat others starts to change. What else? Grades? Anyone? Okay, so when I started dating Zach, before I dated Zach, I had 4.0 GPA in college. It was perfect! I started dating him, and my grades went down, and his grades went up, right? That totally starts to change because that affects everything, right? What else could be affected? Relationships. What other relationships could be affected when you start dating somebody? Yeah? Your relationship with God, absolutely. Are you still prioritizing that? Or sometimes it's like, oh, well, this person doesn't prioritize God, so maybe that's not as important to me either. And I heard other people say family. Absolutely, that's a relationship that starts to change too. All right, so what he's saying is, Solomon's saying that above all else, above your family, above money, above your house, guard your heart. Because out of this heart comes everything else. It flows the relationships with God, the relationships with your family, the relationships you have with other people, the way you think, the way you act, the way you behave. So guard your heart because everything gets its start from your heart. So now, what does this actually mean though? I want to tell you what it doesn't mean. I am not saying that you should not date anybody ever. All right? I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that you should protect your heart. You should never, ever, ever let somebody you're dating or somebody you're interested in, I know you guys don't really date, right? Like, you just kind of like hang out with each other, right? I don't even know what you call it. Like, you don't date. You chill, right? So whoever it is that you are chilling with, you don't let them control your mind. You don't let them control your body. You don't let them control your decisions. Now, they're going to influence you, and that's totally normal. That's totally, completely normal. And that's why you should really pay attention to who it is that you've chosen to spend that much time with. But you don't want them to control you. And I know that it's easy for me to just say that, and you're like, yeah, don't let them control you. And yet at the same time, chances are most of us in this room in our first couple dating experiences will be in a relationship where the other person will control us. That we will lose sight of guarding our hearts, and they will start to dictate what we do and what we think and how we act. And what I'm telling you now, please, 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 guard your heart. Do not let them control you. Another thing that this means is don't let other people devalue you. You guard your heart when you remember what your value is. Your value is not in that person. It is not in the status of your relationship. It is not in any of those things. Your value is in the fact that you are a child of God. You have been uniquely created by God. Our Savior came to save you. You are worth that much. And no girlfriend, boyfriend, chilling partner can ever tell you something different. They cannot change that value, but they can try to make you believe that you are worth less. The other thing that you're going to do when you guard your heart, you are going to make sure that you don't let yourself get too far ahead of yourselves too fast. All right? I've known sophomores that have come into my office, and they've been dating for 10 months, which is a significant relationship in high school years, and they are saying, hey, we really want to get married. And I'm saying, you're a sophomore. You've been dating for 10 months. Slow your roll. Slow down. Now, that's pretty rare. Most students are not thinking, hey, we're going to get married. Most students aren't thinking that. Instead, it comes in terms of this. Hey, we're juniors, and we're already planning our senior prom together. Slow your roll. You have no idea if you're going to continue to be in a relationship your senior year. Guard your heart. Don't let yourself get ahead. Sometimes it turns into something like this. I had a friend of mine actually did this. He would take girls on dates to furniture stores and describe how his house is going to look when he would get married. And the whole purpose was to make the girl feel like, oh my gosh, we're getting married. And now we should, you know, move on in other ways and increase the speed of this relationship, right? And the whole thing is, no, slow down. Don't let yourself get ahead of you. If you find yourself in a relationship where you're sharing a calendar and you can't say yes to a friend because you need to check in with your boyfriend or girlfriend to see if that's okay with our calendar, slow your roll. You are not married. You are not in a shared calendar life stage, all right? Slow down. The last thing that it means to guard your heart is to not just guard your heart, but to guard the other person's heart. There are two hearts in play in this whole thing, right? We cannot enter relationships and say, well, what am I going to get out of this? What are you going to give me? We have to enter relationships and also be thinking about the other person. How can I protect that person to make sure they don't get hurt? You are in an excellent place if you and the other person enter into a relationship saying, I don't know if this is going to work out, but I want to make sure that you are protected through the whole thing. I want to make sure that you don't get hurt, and I want to make sure I don't get hurt either. We need to guard our hearts because that's where everything gets its start from. Guys, listen to this. God cares way more about your relationships than you do. And he also cares way more about your heart than you do. And so he's desperately trying to get your attention and say, I have a way for you to win. I have a way for you to win. You don't have to lose. You don't have have to be a failure in terms of dating. I have a way for you to lose, for you to win, and it is to guard your heart because everything gets its start from that place.